Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In Ukraine, and Joseph Lindsley has been doing some traveling. Hello to you, Joseph. You're in Kyiv today. What's the situation there?
Bob, hello. Yes, I'm here in the Ukrainian capital, a snowy day. And last night I boarded the train from Kharkiv station, took the overnight train. And it really is comfortable. You get your own room and you can't, you know, hear the alarms on the train, so you can get a good night's sleep. At the entrance to the station, the soldiers were so happy that there was an American about to board the train that they insisted on carrying my gear onto the train. And I was talking with the staff aboard the train, and they're still very proud of the fact that President Biden rode one of their trains. And so they like to call, they like to say for one day there was Rail Force One here in Ukraine. And then everyone was so full of gratitude. Earlier in the day in Kharkiv, I was showing around some American friends who worked for prominent media in the United States. And we went into that neighborhood of North Saltivka, which has been so heavily damaged. And we went into one of the buildings that's been largely bombed out, climbing up seven floors of steps. Much of those steps are covered with debris and glass. And within one of those apartments, there was a guy still living. And the scene was like there was a painting by Vincent van Gogh called The Potato Eaters, of peasants in a very dark place, the Potato Peelers, sorry, in a dark room. And that's what I felt like. There were several people in this one little dark room, the only place where there was any heat, and just gathered around, just passing the time in what used to be, their lovely neighborhood and their building. And then one of the neighbors came in and was describing that horrible time a year ago when during the shelling, he was helping his wife and daughter escape. And I said, did you find the right moment? And he said, no, we just decided we couldn't wait anymore, and we just fled. And so it is nice to see that, things are calmer there now. But at the same time, all the shattered lives. And then after that, we went with these reporters to a fancy restaurant in Kharkiv. And it's just a contrast, just a few blocks away, really. And so in that, you can see the resilience, but also the ongoing difficulties here. Today has been unusual because the skies have been calm. It's been quite a while now, a couple of weeks since Russia has launched a nationwide missile attack. But we have very unusually today had three nationwide air alarms already today. The last one just ended about half an hour ago. This is very unusual. So there's some new level of alertness or panic in the air. And then meanwhile, of course, in addition to the regular shelling of places like Nikopol, in Kherson and Zaporizhia, and also in Kharkiv region, Bakhmut remain there's very intense fighting. Some reports say in five different directions, and we're trying to figure out if Ukraine is maybe gathering reinforcements in surrounding towns and trying to reinforce Bakhmut. There's some idea that might be happening, but it still is difficult to know what exactly is going on. And amid all this, I think one of the big topics here in Ukraine, there was a video has been circulating of a Ukrainian soldier who was a POW held by the Russians, held by the Wagner Group. His name was Timofey Shadura. And in this video, he's casually smoking a cigarette in the prisoner of war camp. And the Russians are filming him. And he says very calmly, Slava Ukraini. And then in the next scene, they shoot him. Which it seems like it was quite unexpected, and they killed him. And so once again, we see this, Russians try to share this as a sign of why everyone should be afraid of them. But more and more, it shows people why they can't, the civilized world cannot let Russia win.
Terrible. And when I hear you say you were on the train and you enjoyed the fact that you can't hear the alarms while you're on the train, I'm thinking that if that's me, I'm more nervous than ever because I don't know if there's an alarm going off. How do you do that?
Yeah, you don't know. And usually, in the middle of the country, as you're traveling through the wild steppes of Ukraine, you don't have a service in your phone. So there's no way to know what's going on. And it could be nerve-wracking, but I think also, especially because I was in Kharkiv for over a month, You know, you hear so many alarms there. It really was nice to have, you know, just to have a night knowing that it's going to be more peaceful and quiet. And when you're sort of in between the cities, being in Kharkiv, you do feel more of a target. And, you know, up until 2 weeks ago, so through much of January and early February, it's hard to remember now, but every other day there were massive missile strikes on the center of Kharkiv. And I can still hear the echoes of that, although they're fading a bit. It was a very intense period. And now we have this strange time of calm. And so when you have some calm, you seize the opportunity to get some rest.
I guess so. You'll enjoy this email from one of our listeners. Hi, Bob and Joe. Thanks for your continued reporting on Ukraine. Since I have some firsthand knowledge of the situation, I can tell you that Joseph's commentary regarding Bakhmut was spot on. I just returned from London. We were there when President Biden made his surprise visit to Kyiv. I can tell you that the support for Ukraine is substantial in London. Many Ukrainian flags fly in London, including over official UK buildings. They are much closer to the situation geographically and understand the great harm to humanity that a brutal totalitarian regime can pose to freedom, liberty, and a sovereign nation. Keep up the great reporting. John Russert from Chicago. And you've mentioned England a few times when you talk about what could happen if the Russians aren't stopped here.
Yeah, well, thank you, John, for that letter. Actually, the UK has, originally they were going to send, I think it was 14 of their top tanks to Ukraine. They've doubled that number now to 28. And so they're actually, you know, increasing support. A lot of this is, you know, Boris Johnson, when he was prime minister, was one of the first, I think probably the first high stature global leader to come to Ukraine. And so the UK has been a key part of this. And incidentally, before the February 24th invasion a year ago, for the preceding 3 years, the leading foreign cadet at the Royal Military Academy at Sandringhurst, I think is the name, was a Ukrainian. Going back to 2019. Incidentally, Ukraine, but, you know, the Brits were recognizing and respecting Ukrainian warriorship, and Ukrainians were getting training from the Brits, and so there is this deep connection.
Here's another message I want to share with you. It was a text. I found it interesting. With a friend of mine who just got back from spending 2 months in Thailand and Cambodia and Vietnam, to make mention that those countries are full of Russians who left Russia waiting for the war to be over. He spent last year in the same countries for the same amount of time and said there were not any Russians that he can remember like he saw a year later, all younger people. Interesting, isn't it?
Well, yeah, we've seen, heard stories of this exodus from Russia, and then, but the question is, you know, when Russians are in exile, do they feel any responsibility? So far they've been pretty quiet. There aren't massive protests, and that's where you have to look at. There has to be some kind of societal reckoning, and are people responsible for the government? I think more than that is. I think Ukraine shows people, and also Taiwan, which is in the news today because China's talking once again about how they want to control Taiwan. But Taiwan and Ukraine, I think, show the world that people can have agency. If you choose to be free, it's going to be tough, but it's possible to achieve that. And maybe one day people in Russia can also experience the same, but they have to have an initiative in their hearts.
Mm-hmm. Joseph, is there a feeling there in Kyiv that since the Russians failed, and it's been widely talked about how Putin thought he could get that city quickly, now that that hasn't happened, is there a general sense that you're safe there in Kyiv now?
It feels very different from Kharkiv. Kharkiv feels much more like a city at war because you can see the damage everywhere. You see more military presence. It's full of volunteers from all over the world. You see license plates from all over the world and very beat up vehicles that have recently been in Bakhmut or Kupiansk. So you feel much closer to the war in Kharkiv. And here you see life is, in many ways, besides the alarms, is vigorous and like it was in many ways before the war. Actually, you can see some of that. That video we talked about yesterday with the rabbi singing, I didn't post it yesterday, but it's now posted at UkrainianFreedomNews.com. And in that video, as he walks around, you can see the energy of the city, even amid some of the signs of the war.
We'll check that out and also post it at WGNradio.com. Joseph Lindsley in Kyiv today. Stay safe, Joe, and we'll talk at this time tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.